Today, we'll talk about my recent Disney World trip that's coming up on this episode 109 of WW Prep to Go. Hello and welcome to WW Prep to Go, where we talk strategy and ideas for people planning their Disney World trips. I am your host, Shannon Albert from wwprepschool.com. Thank you for being here for episode 109. I'm actually recording this at the Hard Rock Hotel at Universal in Orlando, where I am now checked in for the last part of my trip. But the first part of the trip was spent at Disney World. And so today I want to just go through some things that I experienced and tell you what I learned so that maybe you can use that information for your own trip. Before doing that, as always, a reminder to connect on social media. So, for instance, while I have been here, I've been posting once or twice a day huge batches of photos and just sort of telling the story of what I did that day, which people have been really responding to. I also post on Instagram and I Periscope occasionally while I'm doing something that seems interesting, etc. So, if you are on social media, please look up WW Prep School and follow me there. As always, I will have, after the main topic today, I will have news and a featured company and a quick tip of the day. So let's start with how this trip has gone so far for me, at least the Disney World portion. I'll talk about the Universal portion maybe next time. So I come to Disney World several times a year, obviously, because it's my job. And I always try to do things a little bit differently just to try to experience new things. And so one of the things I often do, though, is I use Magical Express. So I arrived at the Orlando airport. I took Magical Express. I often tell people to allow some time for Magical Express because you never know between the time you land and the time you get to your resort how long that's going to be. I think 90 minutes is usually a fair estimate, but this time it actually took 2 hours, which I thought was kind of long, but it's kind of luck of the draw because when you get to the airport and where you check in at Magical Express, you don't know how long you're going to be in the line inside the airport. And then they board you on the bus and then that could be another wait. And then you drive to Disney World and they drop people off at the different resorts and you could be the first resort or you could be the fourth. And so all of those just happened to hit just right for me where it actually took a total of 2 hours. So that's just a tip for you. It might not be a quick process. So that was Magical Express. So then I checked into All-Star Movies. So I'm in a quest to stay at every Disney World resort by next year. And so All-Star Movies was just the next one that I chose to stay at on my list. There were lots of good things about All-Star Movies. The food court I really liked. There were several stations to eat, and I actually thought the theming was beautiful. There was movies themed. I got a preferred room in the 101 Dalmatians section, which was the nature of preferred rooms is that they are close to the main building and the main pool and transportation. And so I really liked the location that I was assigned in the 101 Dalmatians section. The icons are really huge. I had huge Dalmatians just outside the room and just fun theming. I especially think young kids will like the big icons at the All-Star Resorts. The cast members were fantastic at All-Star Movies. The rooms were fine. There's nothing particularly special about them, but the room that I had was completely fine. However, the thing that I really, really, really did not like at All-Star Movies was the transportation. And this is something that a lot of people often struggle with the All-Stars because there's a lot of people on the All-Stars. They're huge resorts. All the value resorts are. And the All-Star resorts often share buses. And so it gets really difficult when the buses get full so quickly. They may not come as frequently as you hoped, et cetera. And in particular, All-Star Movies is at the end of the All-Stars. So there's three of them all in a row, essentially. There's sports and music and there's movies. And when the buses are shared between the resorts, movies is often last in that progression. And so we often would have to wait longer for buses because they would be full before they even got to us. So the buses were a major problem. In 10 years of visiting Magic Kingdom, I've never missed the welcome show, which is it's usually 20 minutes before the park opens. And I've never missed it. And I missed it this time. I was at the bus stop at 8:04 a.m. for a 9 o'clock opening. I intended to be there just before eight, and I didn't realize that the clock in my room was running 10 minutes off. So I accidentally was there at 8:04 instead of 7:54 and just missed that 8 o'clock bus and didn't end up getting on a bus and leaving All Star Movies until 8:30, which put us at Magic Kingdom at 8:50. And at that point, they'd already done the welcome show and they'd already let people into the park. And so I didn't even get like park opening, you know, lines, non-existent lines. I actually, when I arrived, had a bit of a line. So this is to say a couple things. One is that the transportation is unfortunate, even though a lot of things about the resort are completely fine. So I just think if you're going to choose a value resort, like your budget is value and you're looking for the best experience for your money, I'm still a bigger fan of Pop Century, because Pop Century is just as inexpensive as the All Stars, but they have their own buses. So that means they don't share with other resorts and you don't have these kind of issues that pop up. So really like the theming, everything about it, just didn't like that. So I just would much prefer that you stay at Pop Century if you're going to pick a value resort for your trip. So that was the resort. Then after I checked in, got settled, I headed to Hollywood Studios for the evening. And I didn't have a big plan in place. I just wanted to sort of experience a few things for the evening since I only had a few hours to spend there. I did have fast passes made ahead of time for things like Rock and Roller Coaster and Tower of Terror. I got to Rock and Roller Coaster 3 minutes after my fast pass expired, but they let me on because they will usually let you check in for your fast pass up to 15 minutes late. And that's just as quick as I could get there. So the 3 minutes being late was not a big problem at all. I did some fast passes, and then also I checked out the Frozen sing-along theater. I actually had a fast pass for that as well. The new theater is fantastic. I had seen the Frozen sing-along at the old theater, and I've seen it in Disneyland a couple times. And so this new theater, which is where the American Idol show used to be, is a fantastic upgrade. And so normally when I experience things at Disneyland, I like the Disneyland version better than the Disney World, but the Frozen sing-along is one of the exceptions. It is just a fantastic show, in my opinion, at Disney World. The theater is just so much better. The last one looked like a convention center almost, but this is just a beautiful theater and the set's great. The historians who are the hosts of the sing-along are so funny, and I think they just keep getting funnier, and I just really love it. So a lot of people ask me if they should get a fast pass plus for the sing-along, and I say it's kind of optional, but if you do it, I sort of loved using it in order to sit up closer. I felt like the first 10 rows or so were probably the best, but I don't know that anybody had like a really bad seat. The only problem is if you don't have a fast pass, I suppose the theater could get full, and then if you're in the standby line, maybe you won't make it in. If you do get a fast pass, I do recommend showing up at the beginning of your fast pass window. So if it's, for instance, a 7 o'clock show, then your fast pass will say show up between 6:30 and 6:50 or 6:35 and 6:50 or something like that. They give you a time period. And I just recommend showing up at the beginning of that so that you make sure that you get in at the first few rows or wherever you want to sit. If you show up at the end, you're likely going to end up just with the standby lines because they have to load the theater. So they can't wait for you to show up before loading everybody else in. So anyway, I like it as a fast pass option. But I just recommend showing up at the beginning of your window as opposed to towards the end. I did check out the Great Movie Ride Theater. They took away the Sorcerer Mickey hat as the icon of the park. And so now the icon is the theater. It's the old Chinese theater. And it has been spruced up recently. They have spires and the stage has been removed that was in front of it. And it just looks fantastic. Watto's Grotto, which is a Star Wars themed shop, had been at Hollywood Studios during Star Wars weekends, but they brought it back again in September. And so I saw the signs pointing to that. I really was starting to feel the Star Warsification of Hollywood Studios, not only from Watto's Grotto, but the old Magic of Animation building, which closed, is being redone, and it's completely gray, and it says coming in December 2015. So that entire building is going to look completely different, and that will open later this year. I did notice that the Osborne lights were up on the buildings in many locations. They're working on it, and so with the lights are up, but obviously not on yet. They won't turn on until November 6th, and this is the last year for them, so my next trip, I'll get to see them all lit up. I did spend lots of time at One Man's Dream. There is very good reason to think that One Man's Dream is closing, and this is not official, but it could be as early October that it closes. But I spent lots of time in One Man's Dream because I knew it probably wouldn't be here much longer. It's just, I haven't been into the history of the parks and of Disney for very long. I'm really not into history usually, but I've really, really gotten sort of into it in the last year, especially. And so One Man's Dream is like just a fantastic place to go for that in Disney World. So hopefully it will be relocated somewhere else. I don't know what's going to happen, but it was nice to be able to visit there one last time before they remove it. And then I ended the day at Hollywood Studios at Fantasmic. Now, after I used all three of my fast passes, I immediately went to a kiosk for a bonus fast pass. The cast member there said, "We only have Fantasmic left." And I said, "I know, that's why I'm here." So I do like Fantasmic as a bonus fast pass when you are at Hollywood Studios. So when you get a bonus fast pass, you just go through a different line than the standby people do, and you're assigned a certain section. We were in Maleficent section of the Fantasmic Theater. The best seating for Fantasmic are the people who have the Fantasmic dinner package. They are dead center in the theater, but I just like having a fast pass because it gives you like a guaranteed area to sit in, and you know, if it happens to fill up, you'll know you have a seat. I do recommend sitting halfway back. I periscoped Fantasmic, and people are like, "Oh my gosh, where are you sitting? This is perfect." It's just, you know, halfway back is a good spot, and as much toward the middle as you can, regardless of which section you end up in. So that finishes up Hollywood Studios. So the next park that I visited the next morning was Animal Kingdom. For Animal Kingdom, the buses were shared. I mentioned that sometimes the buses are shared from the All-Stars and sometimes not. For Animal Kingdom, the buses were shared. Once I got to Animal Kingdom, I was there before park opening, and they now let everybody in as far as the Tree of Life. You know, that's the main icon for Animal Kingdom. They used to hold you at the beginning of the park until park opening and then let everybody in at once. Now they allow you in as far as the Tree of Life. And you can do a few things while you wait. There are different sort of cast members holding different small animals in containers, so you can check those out. You can explore the Oasis, which is the section right at the beginning as soon as you go in. But you can also get pictures taken, and this is actually my recommendation for you. If you want pictures taken, like PhotoPass pictures or even just with your own camera, you can do that at this point. There are photographers out, and so it's a great thing to do. That way, when the park finally opens, you're not worrying about stopping to get pictures taken and eating up a few minutes of your time. But that's something you can do while you wait. So once that happens, once the cast members decide to open the park, in this case, it was about 10 minutes before official opening, we're able to head right to where we are going. Most people are headed to Safaris or Expedition Everest. I went to Safaris this time. And so that was a fantastic way to start the day. Lots of animals out. We had a great driver of our vehicle, and she was a great guide for the safari. And then I actually used a fast pass for Festival of the Lion King immediately after Safaris. You don't necessarily need it if you're going to the first show of the day. I just really love Festival of the Lion King fast passes because sitting at the front is the best view of everything. And the way to do that is to have a fast pass because they let you in first. So you get to be in the first couple of rows and the sections. I'm almost always the row behind the handicap accessible rows. The first row or two is for handicapped people, and then I'm almost always the row behind that. Really, really love sitting up close. And the theater wasn't at capacity by the time the show started, but it's still nice to have like a guaranteed view of the show. I did notice that the Rivers of Light construction is still very much underway and can't wait for that show to open at Animal Kingdom next year. One thing that I spent a lot of time doing at Animal Kingdom that was new to me is they have a Harambe market in the Africa section. So this is sort of like an outdoor food court area of at Animal Kingdom, and there's fantastic food options, and it's just so beautifully themed. I mean, it is, Animal Kingdom is just the best themed park, I think. And it's just, this is no exception. This whole area is just lovely. So it is outdoor, but I was there during lunch and I thought it felt really nice. And there, it's like covered and there's fans and plenty of seating. And so I just really recommend this as another great quick service option. There are a few great options at Animal Kingdom, but this section I think is great. Incidentally, I almost always eat at 11 o'clock when I'm at Disney World. I don't know why. When I'm at home, I'm likely to still be eating toast and having coffee. But when I'm at Disney World, I almost always eat at 11. And it's just a really great way to avoid the crowds at the different, you know, restaurants and things, because, you know, there's no lines and you can usually have your pick of seating. So if you want to eat early, there are some perks to that. So anyway, spent some time at Animal Kingdom and then took a little break and headed out to Epcot that night. So this was the night before Food and Wine Festival was scheduled to begin, but it was like cast member previews / soft opening. And so I met up with Dustin, the character queen, and Mike from WW Table Finder and his wife. And we started at La Cava, which is inside the Mexico Pavilion. And they specialize in tequila. So we had margaritas. But you also can get a free chips and salsa there if you mention to them that you follow them on Twitter. They have a very active Twitter account, which I love. But you can get free chips and salsa at La Cava. We had fantastic margaritas and then took some time to just explore the kiosks at Food and Wine Festival. Not a ton of them. I've done them before. But that, you know, it's fun to sort of just be able to walk around and randomly check out different food and drinks. It hasn't changed a whole lot since last year, but there are some new options available. Disney Food Blog is all over this. They've got this covered. So I will link to them in the show notes. But anyway, just a fun night out. I don't recommend it for kids, by the way. I saw some kids out. It's not really a kid thing. There are a lot of people that have had too much to drink and it gets very busy. And so I don't recommend it to take small children. And my own personal rule for Food and Wine Festival is I don't eat at the booths that have pavilions associated with them, because you can do those anytime. So you might as well take advantage of the ones that are unique to the festival. So for instance, I probably wouldn't stop at the China booth because there's a China pavilion, but I would stop at a Brazil booth or a Poland booth or something like that. So that's my own personal rule and the one I tend to follow. I'll be back again for Food and Wine Festival in early November. So I'll be spending more time checking that out. All right. And then finally, my last day at Disney World, I went to Magic Kingdom. I don't normally wait to go to Magic Kingdom, but it was just the way the days worked out for me. I usually like to kick off my trips at Magic Kingdom. But as I mentioned earlier, I missed the 8 o'clock bus by a few minutes at my resort and ended up arriving at Magic Kingdom after they'd already let people in. So I'm letting my pain be your gain just to drive this point home. So If you are at the bus stop just before 8 and you get on that 8 o'clock bus, you will likely be at Magic Kingdom by, say, 8:20, 8:25, something like that. And that will put you standing towards the front of the queue so that when they do open the park around, you know, a little before the official opening most of the time, you can get in and be the first one on a ride, which makes a lot of difference because by the time I arrived, many people had already been in the park for about 15 minutes, 20 minutes, which doesn't sound like a lot. But I decided to follow my normal touring plan just to see how it was impacted. And I normally do 3 to 4 attractions per hour at the beginning of the day at Magic Kingdom. And on this day, I could only do 2.5. And that wouldn't have been the case if I had been there about 20 minutes earlier. So I immediately went to Peter Pan. I have seen the Peter Pan queue, the line, but only very quickly, just breezing by it because I usually will ride it first and walk through it. So I took time to take some pictures of the queue because I could, but I ended up waiting for 22 minutes and I've never waited at Peter Pan really. It is just not typical. If you're there at opening, there's no reason that you have to wait. So then I went to, and I usually recommend if you have fast passes for like Seven Dwarfs Mine Train and stuff like that, I recommend doing Peter Pan, Under the Sea, Journey of the Little Mermaid, and then Winnie the Pooh normally. But based on my experiences this trip, I think I'm going to actually recommend Peter Pan, Winnie the Pooh, and then Under the Sea, Journey of the Little Mermaid. Under the Sea used to have more lines than it does now. But it just does not have the long waits, as long a waits as it used to. So I think if you do Peter Pan, Winnie the Pooh, and then Under the Sea, then you will basically avoid most of the lines by doing that. But because I was a little bit later, I ended up doing about 20-minute waits on Peter Pan and Pooh, but didn't have a wait on Little Mermaid. So anyway, just let that be a lesson to you that being early is fantastic. I would have been totally fine if I had skipped Peter Pan, because it's just those rides like that really have lines that build quickly that are the problem. So if I had skipped it, I actually probably wouldn't have had many lines at all. I talked to some cast members while I was in the park that day, and they let me know that Pirates of the Caribbean was sort of opening off and on throughout the day. I didn't happen to catch it. But it was sort of a soft opening because it's had a long refurbishment, and it was supposed to officially open the next day, which it did on Saturday. But the day that I was there was sort of a soft opening, and I didn't manage to catch it because I was only in Magic Kingdom for about 4 hours. But now it is finally open, and as I understand it, the animatronics have been improved a lot, and I think the ride vehicles. But the dog in particular, I've seen pictures of it. The dog is different than it was before, and it's not necessarily a good thing. I don't know why they decided to change the look of the dog. But he's not nearly as cute as he used to be. While I was at Magic Kingdom, I had lunch at Columbia Harbor House, and it is my favorite quick service at Magic Kingdom. And once again, ate at 11 o'clock, which means no lines because nobody else is thinking about lunch that early usually, but I'm always starving for some reason. So anyway, it's just my favorite. And it just works out well with the touring plans because I was on Haunted Mansion and then just walked basically across the street to Columbia Harbor House. Normally, I get the tuna sandwich. This time, I got the lobster roll. All fantastic. I love the food here. People often say Disney only has chicken nuggets and fries for kids, and I'm tired of eating it, and it's just not true. I think I actually might write a blog post soon about unique food options for kids at Disney World because there are plenty, and this place certainly has those. So anyway, Columbia Harbor House, head upstairs where it's quiet. I picked a table next to a window where I could just sit and watch the people in Liberty Square walk by, and it was just a really nice way to cool off and relax before heading off to do more rides. So anyway, I ended up spending a little bit more time at Magic Kingdom and heading back to the resort. So that sort of wrapped up my Disney World portion of my trip. Now I am in, I ended up taking a tour of a Disney cruise ship the next day. Yes, I'm recording this Sunday morning. So Saturday I spent the day on a Disney cruise ship taking a tour. I've never been on a Disney cruise ship, so being able to take a tour was fantastic. But now I definitely want to take a tour. I mean, not take a tour. I want to take a cruise. I can't believe it. It was the biggest teaser in the world to be able to spend hours on a cruise ship and not be able to go on it. This ship was beautiful. I uploaded a whole batch of pictures to a Facebook page if you'd like to check it out. But anyway, now I'm officially into it and I can sort of see why the price tag is what it is for Disney cruises because it's just so much nicer than any cruise ship I've ever seen. So anyway, maybe I'll talk more about the last part of my trip next week, but I'll be spending lots of time doing Universal things. And that's my next few days. All right, so let's dive into some news that happened this week. For February, Fantasmics were not previously scheduled, and now they are, but also Fantasmic dinner packages are now available. So a lot of people in February were super frustrated. They could not book a Fantasmic dining package, but now you can because Fantasmics are scheduled. I don't know what to tell you about March and April. Still no Fantasmic scheduled for then, but we'll just stay tuned and see what happens. Next up, we got word that Jedi training was closing after October 4th. That is super frustrating for people that have trips coming up. It isn't closing permanently after October 4th. It's just that they are redoing the set and the characters and everything to reflect the new Star Wars movie. And they haven't given us a reopening date for Jedi training, but they have just said that it'll reopen later this year. So we don't know. Yeah, I keep telling people I don't know, but they keep asking me. I really don't know. I don't know if it's a one-week closure or a two-month closure. I don't know. But if you're going in October, just be aware that Jedi training is closing after October 4th for an unknown amount of time. Another thing is that Cali River Rapids will not be an extra magic hour attraction as of October 2nd. I know a lot of people don't like Cali River Rapids at Animal Kingdom because it gets you soaked, but it has been available as an extra magic hour attraction, but it won't be as of October 2nd. It'll come back later. It'll come back seasonally. I think in the cooler months, people just tend to not go on it. Because they don't want to be cold, but sometimes when it's hot, people view it as a way to cool off. So it'll come back later and be available seasonally. And finally, Downtown Disney is officially going to be known as Disney Springs as of September 29th. So this week we're going to start calling it Disney Springs, which means on the website, I have to kind of do a find and replace every instance of Downtown Disney also has to say Disney Springs now. So that is going to be the official name. So I think that'll wrap up news for now. So I want to talk about this week's featured company, and that is Park Bound Buttons. So one thing that I've been doing during my trip is wearing Park Bound Buttons, which are sort of funny buttons. They look like Disney buttons. So when you go to Disney World, you can get free buttons that say my first visit or my birthday or whatever. But these buttons that you can get from parkboundbuttons.com are like pop culture sayings and things like that. So I was wearing an I lava you button most of my trip this time at Disney World. And so it had lava from the short that played before Inside Out and it said I lava you. There are like pop culture, like song lyrics and things like that. They're really cute buttons and I love them. I give them out on Periscope all the time. And what's fun about wearing them in the park, I think, is that cast members are trained to look at the button so that they can say something to you about whatever it is you're celebrating, you know, like happy birthday. So when they look at your button and they realize it's not one of their buttons, they're like, oh, hey, love your button. It's cute to see their reaction. But anyway, it's just a fun way to express yourself. And Casey, the lady that runs it, is very nice and has been generous to send me buttons to give out to you. However, I want to, and I do that on Periscope and I do it in the parks and things like that. So anyway, but you can buy them on your own. You don't have to wait for me to give them out at parkboundbuttons.com. And it's just a fun addition to your trip. Before we wrap up, a quick tip of the day today. So my quick tip is if you are concerned about security in your hotel room. This applies to any hotel room, I guess, but I use it a lot at Disney World because the safes in the rooms are often not big enough for what I need. And so my tip is to hang a privacy please sign, essentially a do not disturb sign on your door to just not allow housekeeping to come in, or excuse me, mousekeeping is what it's called at Disney World. When I travel, I work a lot, and I have to have my MacBook Pro with me because that's what I do all my work on. But the safes in the rooms often are more fitted towards my iPad instead of my MacBook. My MacBook's my favorite thing I own, and I don't want it to get stolen. So I put a sign on the door that says, do not disturb or privacy, please, so that housekeeping doesn't come in, and I just have, you know, more confidence that less people are going to be around my stuff. And so then I also put the laptop somewhere. I hide it in the room so that in case someone does come in, it's not obvious. But it's sort of like putting a security sign in front of your house to deter thieves from breaking in. You know, if they think there's an alarm, they might be less likely to go in. I put a privacy sign up to deter people. If you do this, a lot of people will still get bags left on their doorknob that includes toiletries and towels and things like that. So you actually at least get that. You just don't get your room cleaned. But for me, it's a great solution to the problem of not knowing what to do with a big laptop that won't fit in the safe. So I think that's going to wrap up this episode of WW Prep to Go. For more information on the show, you can visit wwwprepschool.com/episode 109. Until next time, I'll see you on the site.